What is the impact to industry? What happens when these timelines get extended? What's your call?
Yeah, I mean, I think it puts everybody at a place of a little bit of confusion. You know, is this going to be the real transition deadline? Is it not going to be? You know, we've already seen one extension. Here we have a second one. You know, from a regulatory standpoint, this doesn't actually help things if nobody continues to move towards IVDR. So,
So true, so
you
true.
know, the worry is that manufacturers see this, they think, great, I got 2 more years. I'm going to table this, right? I'm not going to spend the money now. I'm going to wait. There's no
Right.
reason for me to do this right now. And then in 2 years from now, we're in the exact same position we were in. And the bottleneck still exists. It's just kind of
Right.
pushed down the road.
Yeah.
You know, so the requirement to lodge your application with the notified body does help that a little bit because you have to take that step. You have to have things in place for IVDR in order to get that application in place. You know, there are some requirements there. So, you know, it really just depends on how manufacturers take this and how they decide to move forward.
I guess in a way, it's encouraging people to get their application in and also giving them a little bit more time to prepare as notified bodies come up to speed. Although I do think notified bodies have almost quadrupled the amount of resources that are readied for this particular project. Not quite sure manufacturers can lay claim to the exact same numbers there, but
Good.
that leads me to think, Margo, what's the point? Now, I'd like to stick my neck out a little bit because that's what I do. Is this a game of chicken between the IVD manufacturers and the EU to see who's going to blink first? I think the EU has already blinked. But under what circumstances, this is a real question, would we see grandfathering of IVDs?
Sure. Yeah, great
Is it going to come
question,
to
and one we're all
it?
asking. So first of all, you know, what's the point? I do want to say, I think part of the point is that there's still only 12 notified bodies under IVDR. Two of them were just designated at the end of last year between, I think, the one in September and then one in November, if I'm remembering correctly. So they're still getting up to speed, starting to take applications, things like that. There's also 8 more notified bodies that are going through the designation process right now. So I think part of this is trying to push off until those notified bodies are up and running so that there is more capacity so
Okay.
that, you know, we don't run into a situation where there's not enough
Right.
people to review everything. You know, is this a game of chicken? I hope not. You know, but I do see that, right? So
Yeah.
manufacturers thinking, well, if I just keep putting this off, are they eventually just going to tell me, don't worry about it? You know, I think
Yeah.
it's, I don't think that's a good approach. I wouldn't bet on it.
Oh, God,
You
no.
know,
Yeah.
for medical devices, you know, maybe you could think about it a little bit more, but for IVDs, you know, if you think about the fact that more than 80% of IVDs are currently self-certified under IVD-D, no one has looked at the data, right? No notified body
Yeah.
has looked at any
What
of the
data? Just kidding.
it.
But anyway,
Well, that's a real
yeah.
concern, right?
Right,
So,
right.
I think it's unlikely that devices that were self-declared under IVDD would be grandfathered, just
Okay.
because there is so much uncertainty and such a wide range of quality of device that falls into that. So, I would not play that game of chicken.
Got
I
it,
don't
got it.
think it benefits anybody, and I think you have a big chance of getting burned there.
I think that's vital, vital perspective, Margo.
You know, I
I've
mean,
heard so many
maybe I'm wrong.
manufacturers say
Maybe
that.
in a few years we'll see it happen, but I wouldn't bet my company on that if I was running an IVD company right now.
It just makes me wonder because we'll come to this a little later because they're talking about, hey, let us know if this is going to cause, shortage of a device on the market or if this poses additional risk to the patient. I just feel like they're on that slippery slope where if you really try and read in between lines, maybe there is more to follow. I don't know. Let's hope it doesn't come to that because the regulations are here for a reason. Let me
Right.
ask you this. What does this mean for manufacturers who have already transitioned or are transitioning? I mean, did they just do all that work in vain? Are they going to get penalized for actually trying to comply?
You know, I don't think so. I think the manufacturers who have moved forward with their transition, you know, those that were at the front of the line, benefited a lot from that. I think if you have transitioned or you're working on that transition, you know, you have a competitive position in the market because your device is IVDR certified. You know, that means something. It means that somebody, a third party, has looked at your data and said, yes, this works, and it works for what they're saying. And that means a lot, I think, for someone who's trying to choose what device to use. You know, it also can make a difference in reimbursement if you're looking to get reimbursement for your device. And the place I really think is under-recognized is the advantage it has to your innovation at your company. And I think a lot of manufacturers want to focus on those new devices, right? And and having your IVDR certificate in place can actually help you with that and reduce some of those hurdles, right? So first of all, you can freely make changes to your devices without this huge regulation looming over you, right? You're already transitioned. You can make those changes to your device. Some of them might get reviewed by the notified body. A lot of them won't. They'll just go into your normal surveillance cycle. And then beyond that, you're trying to put a new device on the market. If it falls within the scope of your current certificate, you're just going to be able to add it. You're not even going to have to go through another review. Right. You know, if it's a class B or a class C that falls into a group that already exists, you know, that's a huge hurdle that you've already overcome, and you don't have to wait to put your device on the market. Like, once you've met IVDR requirements, you tell your notified body and they can add it to your certificate just like that, right? They don't have to do anything, any sort of a review, unless it's like a new type of device that you don't have certificate for. So I think that's really an under-recognized advantage to switching to IVDR, is that it can help you get through new devices to market if your legacy devices are already certified.
So definitely factors that encourage proceeding with that application rather than sitting and waiting, right?
Yes.
Let me ask you a relatively simpler question. What's the scoop with Udemed? Must we be concerned?
Yes. So in addition to the transition deadlines being extended, which I think, you know, is kind of what all the hullabaloo is about, right? At least from my perspective.
Great choice of word there.
There were also some changes to the both IVDR and MDR in relation to Udemed. So what were those changes? Pretty much the main implication of this, the changes, is that you can, the commission can require certain modules to be used by manufacturers even before the whole of Udemed is complete. The way both regulations are written right now, it has like a, it's optional until everything's done, right? But, you know,
it's not enforceable.
Right. Recently, those deadlines have gotten pushed out. We're now looking at like additional years before the modules are ready. And I think the benefits of some of those modules want to be recognized sooner from the commission. So they're changing that. They're going to require certain modules to be used before everything is done. And the what I saw was the end of 2025, looking at some of those things coming into place. So what does that mean for you? It means, if you haven't already started looking at Udemed, do it now. You don't want to be stuck in a place where you're coming up against the deadline and then you have like some sort of an IT issue. You know, this is an electronic system. We know that these things can go wrong. You know, if you're trying to do like a bulk upload or something like that. So I would work on implementing the pieces of Udemed that are currently functional within your quality management system within your organization. Get that stuff done now to ensure you're not scrambling at the last minute.
Makes sense. And I should add that this really has an impact on all the economic operators, not just the legal manufacturer.
Yes, that's a good point.
Okay. So Margot, the proposal also introduces a requirement for manufacturers to give prior notice to authorities as well as distributors or even healthcare institutions if they foresee an interruption of supplies for both IVDs as well as med devices, which would pose risks to patient care. What does this really mean? What's the implication of the same from a manufacturer's perspective? That's not all. Is it that they need to be prepared to handle a huge number of back orders? Or will they get an easier route to conformity via yet another amendment to the regulation if they just turn a blind eye to the regulation furor? I just had to ask that. I know it's a very
loaded question. So I think that this, it's pretty vague the way that it's worded. So I think that the intent here is to allow people using devices, and I'm thinking specifically in the IVD world, so it may be different from medical devices, and you can speak to that, but I see it as making sure that the people using the device have enough time to react if something's going to get pulled from the market or there's going to be an interruption to their supply. So a few examples that I see, you know, that would fall into that pose a risk to patient care, right? That kind of a situation is like, if your assay that you're running in your lab has a specific piece of equipment that's made by your assay manufacturer, right? This happens a lot, where you have this designated instrument that's running your assays, and that's linked to the reagents and the kits that the IVD manufacturer is providing. Then if they pull one of those assays from the market, then how do you react to that, right? You might need to get a new instrument. You need new training for your staff. You know, it might be different sample prep. Like, all of these things make a difference when you're running a lab. So I think the intent is to ensure that you're not pulling something from the market, not telling anybody, and then the health institutions and the laboratories and the patients are ultimately impacted. So I think the commission just wants to keep an eye on devices that are coming off the market. And keep an eye on devices that are not going to be transitioned to IVDR to see if there's a particular space that might be more impacted than others at the end of all of this, right? So like, if every assay of a certain type comes off the market, then we have an issue. So, you know, like I said, specialized equipment, really high risk assays, like for blood transfusions and things like that. Situations where there's no good alternative. So maybe there's only one or two tests on the market. These would be things that I think would impact patient care and would need to be reported. And then, you know, things like an at-home pregnancy test, right? Where there's hundreds of options out there, right? That would be less of a concern. You might not need to let them know about something like that because there's plenty of replacements. You're not risking anybody's care with that. So did I answer your whole question? Is there still a part outstanding?
Yeah. No. I think you addressed it. And I have
one thing I do question is, will there be additional guidance on this? So, you know, will they put out something from MDCG to say like, hey, here's the situations where you should notify us? Because I do think it's a little bit vague the way it's written. And
there
the other thing
Q&A
is
doc, but yeah, there could be a guidance.
Yeah,
following this.
True. Yeah. But that, I mean, about this specific thing, right? This specific patient test being removed from the market. And then how will this be enforced, right? Is anybody going to...
It's framed
like,
as an obligation at this point.
If I don't tell you, right? It's just like, oopsie, I'm sorry. I think that's an important thing that we need to understand a little bit better as well.
Yeah, I mean, as a manufacturer, there are 100 things they need to be taken care of, right? Including getting ready for the application. This may not really be uppermost on manufacturer's mind.
Sure. Right? But, you know, I do think most manufacturers are letting their customers know if something's getting pulled from the market.
Okay.
Right? If they're not going to be offering a test and they've got standing orders for that, you know, I think most IVD manufacturers are letting their customers know, just, you know, because that's like good customer relations. But yeah, it is another thing, like to tell the competent authority and make sure you're giving them all the information and all of that. So
especially for IVD manufacturers who are not really used to all of this, unlike medical device manufacturers. So
exactly,
there is definitely an additional level of burden there.